You?
No.
Turn to somebody near to you and say, I'm so glad that I'm me. Now say to the same person, I'm so glad that I'm not you. If you'd been near that nurse in that corridor that time, you'd have heard what she said. 3 days before, I'd got nicked in town. It was a Friday, so no bail till Monday. I always got nicked on a Friday. I was an addict, so you can imagine, by the time I got bail, I wasn't feeling well. Ow, my back's aching. Ouch, my legs are killing me, man. I need to get some drugs sharpish to get straight. I had 25 quid to my name. I'd put this in my Ben Sherman shirt pocket that was underneath my jumper. Back then, this would get you a weighed quarter of a gram of heroin. So I walked into Hume and I went round to Ratty's, one of the dealers, to score. If you spotted Ratty in Tesco, you couldn't stop yourself from looking twice. At least twice. He had a cross tattooed between his eyes and he looked like Gandalf with a shell suit on. Ratty, it's Barry. He opened the door. Come in, Baz. Mate, if you get any gear, how much do you want? A quarter. I have, but I've not got that much. I've only got about an eighth. I'm waiting for some coming. You can have that if you want, though. It's really strong. Okay, then. I'll have that. I'll come back for the rest later. So I got the gear off him, went into his bedroom and took it. Then everything went black. Then as I came round, I was all dizzy. And then I realised I was lay on my back on a bed and I was being rushed down the hospital corridor. The lights on the ceiling were bolting past me. Then that nurse's face appeared, looking down at me. She had blue eyes and red lipstick on. She looked dead worried. Barry, you came in here hours ago. You were DOA. The paramedics found you in a phone box, dead. Do you know what I did when that bed stopped? Signed myself out. Then I went back to Ratty's to get the rest of my gear. How crazy is that? But this is where I found myself, right in the middle of this struggle. What's been your struggle? It might look like that, but I know for most of you, it doesn't, because you've been down another pathway. So that's where you've had yours. But we've all found ourselves in the middle of a struggle somewhere along the line, though, haven't we? So what can we learn from that place? Let's pay a visit and take a look. For starters, the middle of a struggle can be the foreshadow to your trade. Do you like to watch films? I know I do. Especially when we were locked down on Saturdays. Good old Netflix, eh? Even if you don't, I'm sure you've seen at least one James Bond film. Come on, confession time. There's always a scene where James Bond meets Q to get his gadgets, isn't there? Then later in the film, you get to see him use them, usually in the best bits. This is what storytellers of all kinds, not just filmmakers, call foreshadowing. Something's put in there for a moment, then it's brought back later on. It's done with objects, characters, lines of dialogue. And this is like how it can be with us, because sometimes the experience we gain from the struggles we go through can end up being used for good later on our journeys. So the middle of a struggle can be the foreshadow to your trade. Kevin's Scottish. He's proper chirpy with a scar on his left cheek. I can't tell you what town he's from, just in case you're from Falkirk. Kev was into drugs and gambling until God got busy. He came up to me once after I finished speaking at Victor Outreach in Manchester. He worked there. He was carrying a checkbook. If you'd been at the back near that table with my books on, you'd have heard us. Barry, we want to make a donation out to the work that you're doing. Who do you make a check out to? Nice one, Kev. Make it out to Proclaim Trust, please. Anyway, why are you doing that? Are you the treasurer here? Well, kind of. I'm the accountant. Kev, have you always been good with numbers, mate? No, not really. I learnt about them in the bookies. See, the middle of a struggle can be the foreshadow to your trade. Paul killed Christians. He ended up teaching them. Speaking from his own experience in the Bible, he says, "For we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those that know him." Think about your struggle and everything that that's taken you through. Listen, that struggle for you could be your greatest asset, because God can take the experience that you gain from it and he can use it later on your journey. See, the middle of a struggle can be the foreshadow to your trade. In that corridor that time, the worried-looking nurse was looking down at me. "Barry, you were DOA. The paramedics found you in a phone box, dead." The middle of a struggle can be the foreshadow to your trade. And apart from that, the middle of a struggle doesn't have to be a permanent location. Raise your hand if you remember tape cassettes. For those of you who've not raised your hand, tape cassettes are what we stored music on before Spotify. Yeah. You know, not long ago, I found some house and techno music ones that I'd recorded in my flat in Hume when I had my little studio set up. If you'd have popped round for a visit, you'd have seen the mixer, the drum machine and that synth, and you'd have seen that Roland TB-303. That's what makes the acid sound in acid house and acid techno music. Some of you know that squidgy whack-a-wow, whack-a-wow, whack-a-wow sound. It was a decent setup, and I'd sit there for weeks, mesmerised, twiddling knobs, speeding off my head. Looked like a mad music professor. In a trance. So you can see why I was proper chuffed when I found these tapes. No way, look what I found. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a tape to MP3 converter and have a listen. One of them is called Up Tempo. You can't really call it a mixtape because it's just one long track, man. You should hear it bombing it along. Some of you know that electronic dance tracks have structures with intros, build-ups, breaks, and outros. Well, this one doesn't have any structure. It's just one long continuous drum machine beat with random manic breaks kicking off lasting ages, synced up to that synthesizer and that Roland TB-303. Non-stop, 45 minutes long, the whole side of a cassette tape. Sounds like an hyperactive robot playing around with an Hoover and a dentist drill. Thing is, when I recorded it, I must have thought it sounded really good. Otherwise, I wouldn't have kept the tapes. Can you imagine what the hundreds of others that I recorded sounded like? The ones that I didn't keep? This is where I was at. But I'm not in the same place now, though, because God got busy. David in the Bible, he often found himself in the middle of some sort of struggle, but he knew how to get through them. He said that God is my shelter and strength and always ready to help in times of trouble. Are you in the middle of something? Are you in that place right now? Listen, you don't need to stay there, because God is ready to help. He can get busy in your situation, but you need to give him consent. Listen, the middle of a struggle doesn't have to be a permanent location. In that corridor that time, that worried-looking nurse was looking down at me. "Barry, you were DOA. The paramedics found you in a phone box, dead." The middle of a struggle can be the foreshadow to your trade. The middle of a struggle doesn't have to be a permanent location. And the middle of a struggle is a place where the unexpected can happen. If you met Jamie, you'd probably recognise him from Crime Watch's Most Wanted. He's the kind of guy that would never hit a man with glasses, but he would hit him with a baseball bat. Have you got the picture? I first met him when he was doing a 4-year prison sentence. One time, I was speaking at a community event, and Jamie was there, so I sat at the same table as him. "Good to see you, mate." "Good to see you, Baz. When did you get out?" "Got about 3 months ago. Got my parole, didn't I?" "Well done, nice one. How have you been doing anyway?" "I've been doing really good, thanks, Baz. Feel like I finally started sorting my life out." "Brilliant, how did that come about?" "It was in that chapel that time, do you know, when I met you. You didn't know it, but at the start, I was only there thinking I was buying some drugs from one of the lads on another wing. I wasn't there to listen to you. Thank you very much. But I think the big man upstairs has something else in store, because then you said something that resonated with me. And it was that that set me off on this path, Barry. It was mental. It just came right out of the blue. See, the middle of a struggle is a place where the unexpected can happen. Isaiah from Bible Times tells us that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and neither are God's ways our ways. See, God sometimes actions the unexpected, and he does it sometimes when we're in the middle of a struggle. What about you? What were you thinking at the start of this? Have I said something that's resonated with you? Listen, it could be that God's got something lined up for you that's out of the blue, same as Jamie, who knows? See, the middle of a struggle is a place where the unexpected can happen. In that corridor that time, the worried-looking nurse was looking down at me. Barry, you were DOA. The paramedics found you in a phone box dead. The middle of a struggle can be the foreshadow to your trade. The middle of a struggle doesn't have to be a permanent location. The middle of a struggle is a place where the unexpected can happen. And to top those off, the middle of a struggle is a place where you can start to rewrite your headlines. You should have seen Lisa's face when I told her what had happened. Lisa had long blonde hair and blue eyes, and she had a nose pierced. That was before body piercing was popular. We were together for a decade. A mad one at that. Oh, if you want to find out more about what we got up to, you can read my book, and it just so happens there's some on that table over there. We started a project when my book came out in 2007 to give a copy of Once an Addict to every prisoner in the UK. Right now, as we're coming out of COVID, the numbers are there's 76,000 prisoners behind bars in the UK. 76,000. We've sent 50,000 copies of that book out free of charge since 2007. And there's one small way you can support that. For every one copy of Once an Addict you buy, we then send two into prisons for free. So you're buying three, but we're going to give two away on your behalf. And there's some other bits on the table over there, CDs and DVDs. All the proceeds, of course, goes into the trust that I run. And that the bits that come in from that are earmarked to the work that we do in jails, because we don't get a lot of funding for the stuff we do in jails. The last pad that me and Lisa had was on a council estate called Darnhill in Heywood. Our offices are just a few minutes away, so I still drive through the estate. Once I was driving up the bottom road, and there was someone on the path on the other side walking up. Do you know, from behind, that looks like Lisa's walk. That is Lisa. So I pulled the car up to the curb, dead slow behind her, and opened my window. Lisa, is that you, Barry? Yeah, love, well, blankety blank, blankety blank. Blankety blank, fancy seeing you. How long has it been now? Must be going on 15 years. Yeah, something like that. I knew you'd come back though, Barry. Do you want to come round to mine for a brew? Yeah, love, get in. She gets in. Just drive up here. I live down that cul-de-sac now. Do you know, at the end near the bus stop, you should have seen her when we got to her street. She was on a mission. Oh, it's great living down here, Barry. You can get weed from the house there. You can get speed from the house over here. You can get your brown from them flats just down there. She was like a drug tour guide on crack, because she thought I'd come back. Her flat was on the first floor in this little block. If you'd been there, you'd have seen her show me around. Here's the kitchen, Barry, that the council's just done up. Look at them brand new worktops. Here's my little bathroom. Look at that pink toilet seat I've just bought. Here's the bedroom, Barry. I said, here's the bedroom, Barry. There's the bed. Just making sure I knew there was enough room for me. Because in the old days, that's what it had been like. Here's the living room. Sit down, Baz. We got chatting about old times. She starts to make a spliff. Do you remember when I used to come and visit you in prison? Do you remember when I started to hear those voices? Do you remember when we lived in that squat opposite the Russell Club in Hume that had a tree trunk in the living room? And do you remember when you did that snatch, allegedly? that Christmas time when we were skint, and you came back with that leather knife safe bag, and we were trying, you were trying to open it with the knives out of the kitchen, and you kept breaking all the knives. And when you opened it, we saw all that money. What a Christmas that was. Then she lit the spliff. Like a bunch of skunks just started a spray fight. We carried on with our trip down memory lane. And she goes, yeah, Baz. No, you're all right, love. I don't smoke anymore. What do you mean you don't smoke? No, I don't smoke. I don't even smoke cigs. What, you? Yeah. I stopped when I become a Christian. No way, you're a Christian. Blankety blank, blankety blank. Did that happen? It wasn't long after we split. I got invited to church, so I went. And I got prayed for. And it was like a light came on. Then the voices went. I came off the drugs. I went to college. I set up a charity. I got married. I've even wrote a book that's classed now as a bestseller. It's just been one thing after another, Lise. But it all started that day. That look on her face when I told her was priceless. Who'd have thought you doing that? You're in such a bad place. Good on you. Are you sure you don't want some of this, though? See, the middle of a struggle is a place where you can start to rewrite your headlines. Do you need to start to rewrite yours? Do you want to? Listen. 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away, God, the creator of this universe, became a man. His name is Jesus. Jesus is God with skin on. And he came to this earth and he was tempted just like you, but he resisted temptation. Then at the age of 33, he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. He found himself in the middle of a struggle. But he was in that place for you, though. He died on that cross to pay the price for your faults, for your flaws and for your failures. He died on that cross so that it can wipe your slate clean and to give you the option to start rewriting your headlines. That guy in the Bible, David again, he said this, that God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the door of my heart to him. You see, when you give God consent to come in, he starts to rewrite your headlines. He gets his pen out. See, the middle of a struggle is a place where you can start to rewrite your headlines. A mate of mine got his car broken into. Whoever did it used a device to relay the signal from his car key fob to another device that was used to open his door. It's a method that's been given the term relay theft. Have you heard of it? Interesting. Car thieves have come a long way since my day. I just used a brick. Do you know God will never try to get through your door using a device like that? In fact, he tells us his method in the Bible. He says, listen, I'm standing and knocking at your door. If you hear me and open the door, I will come in. You see, God is not a relay thief because he stands and he knocks. He waits for you to open the door. He waits for you to give him consent to come in. And when you give him consent to come in, he gets busy and he starts to rewrite your headlines. See, the middle of a struggle is a place where you can start to rewrite your headlines. In that corridor that time, the worried-looking nurse was looking down at me. Barry, you were DOA. The paramedics found you in a phone box, dead. I didn't tell you how I ended up in that phone box, did I? Let's wrap this up now back at Ratty's to find out. That night, I'd signed myself out. I went back round to Ratty's. Ratty's, Barry, you should have seen how mad he was. When he opened the door, he was so angry that cross between his eyes was spread across his nose. What the blankety plank do you want? I've come to get the rest of my gear. You cheeky blankety plank. What do you mean? Well, when you came round here before, you didn't even have any blankety blank money. I did, Ratty. No, you didn't. I did. It was here in my pocket. Underneath my jumper, I'd put it in there before. foreshadowing. Side note, this place where I was at was the foreshadow trade, like Kev's was. That wasn't in there before. Yet it was. Still didn't believe me. So I kept the 25 quid and I went somewhere else to school. The middle of a struggle. This was me in mine. And I know it's a place where we've all been. Please stand if you're able. Listen up. Listen up. Listen up. Right now, God is stood outside your life. He's standing and waiting for you to give him consent to come in so that he can get busy rewriting your headlines. My question to you is, what are you going to do?
Amen.
I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to invite two groups of people to pray this prayer with me. The first group are those people. You've never prayed a prayer. You've never given God consent to come in before. It could be that you've prayed crisis prayers. I've prayed tons of those. God, give me bail. This is the last time. Yeah, I know I said that the last time, but this really is the last time. Nothing wrong with crisis prayers, by the way. This isn't a crisis prayer. This is you giving God consent to come into your life. So that it can get busy rewriting your headlines. It could be that you've been attending a church or you've been speaking to people who've kind of got that faith thing going on. It could be you've not thought about it much until now. Listen, God has stood outside your life and he wants to come in. What are you going to do? So that's the first group. Those people have never prayed a prayer before. The second group are those people who may have prayed a prayer to give God consent to come in some time ago. And you started your Christian journey, but you know that right now, for whatever reason, you're not living how God wants you to live. Listen, the Bible says there's no condemnation for you, by the way. We're all under grace. It's a good job, isn't it? Because nobody would be in this room if we wasn't. But I'm going to say to that second group, pray this prayer. Get back on track. And God will forgive and forget. And as you leave this place, you can just crack on with the rest of your Christian journey. There's the two groups. The rest of you make up the third group. You're going to pray it to encourage the first group and the second group. Are we ready? All three groups repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Dear God, I come to you tonight and I admit that I'm not perfect. God, I ask that you forgive me for my faults, for my flaws, and for my failures. God, I ask that you wipe my slate clean, because right here, right now, I'm opening my door and I'm giving you consent to come in. Because right now, I'm saying, I want to change my location and I want you to start rewriting my headlines. While the heads are bowed, if you've prayed that prayer and you're part of the first group or the second group, can I ask you to raise your hand so I can see it? Put your hands up so I can see it. If you're part of the first group or the second group, fantastic. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Put your hands down. Thank you. 11 people. 12. There might be one, two more. 12 people. There might be one or two more who's not raised their hands for whatever reason. Sometimes it's not easy, but there's a reason why she's to do this. So I'm going to count down 5 seconds just to give anybody else just 5 extra seconds if you've not raised your hand already to raise it. Anybody else? 5. Anybody else? 4. Got you over there before. Thank you. Anybody else? 3. Anybody else? 2, 1. I'm going to count for 3. 12 people. I've raised their hands. I'm going to count to 3. When I count to 3, I want the 12 of you to leave your seats and go through that door. Why? As a charity, I've brought some packs with us with a book in there, a booklet, and like some information, and there's a QR code we want to get to you because you need to know what to do next. What do you do next after that? Well, this DVD that you're going to watch will tell you what you need to do next. So I'm going to count to 3 on the point of 3. You're all going to leave your seats, and you're going through that door. Are we ready? 1, 2, 3, you go now. Let's give them a round of applause. Fantastic. And we can have some music as well, Mark, I think. You go now. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah. Let's give them a round of applause, by the way.
Well, thank you for being with us.
As we just close down our service, if you're interested in talking to us, please do so. But for the moment, we're going to close in prayer, and just pray for those that are kind of seeking something extra from God, seeking something that is going to make a difference in their recovery. So let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for being with us tonight. Lord, you promise us in your word that you're always with us, that you never leave us alone. And just as those who've responded are in that other room, we just pray that you'll break into their lives, that you'll make a difference. Lord, in the turmoil that some of them are facing, that you'll break in and you'll just bring a different destiny, a different destination in their lives. We thank you for Barry. We pray that you'll bless him and his whole ministry and the charity that he runs. Lord, Father, just bless us as we go tonight. Amen. Thank you.